Raise your hand if that's your favorite hymn ever in the whole year of the church. Raise your hand if the reason you don't like coming on All Saints is because you know you're going to have to sing that hymn. That's good. All right, at least Peter's honest. All right, well, I grew up in a church called All Saints. Maybe because of that, this day is actually my favorite day in the whole church year. Christmas is a party and Easter is a victory, but All Saints is history, and I love history. But as fond as my memories of that place are, and they are very dear to me, I have now been in this community more than twice the years that I spent growing up there. In truth, I suppose I would have to say I have done more growing up here than I have done in any other place anywhere. And most of the saints that have surrounded me in those years are the people that I have known here. This is the seventh time that I have stepped into this pulpit on an All Saints Day. And by my count, it is the 24th All Saints Day I have spent in this church. There is no authority given to me by either of those numbers. But as I have prayed over the words that I prepared for this sermon to share with you today, I realize that the message I have to offer today has been shaped by the history that I have here in ways that I'm only now beginning to understand. That all came home to me when I sat down with my little yellow piece of paper, like I know a number of you did as well, and began writing down the names of all of the people I wanted to make certain were called to remembrance on this day. And that list started to become very long indeed, and it could easily have been longer. You see, the way the church is supposed to work, when you are in this part of the ministry of the church, you feel this little call somehow to serve in an ordained way, and you first take that idea to your own parish, and they think about that with you for a while, and then maybe they recommend you to the diocese, and the diocese thinks about that for a while, and then you are put in the ordination track, and that track takes you away from the church where you first had that idea, and it takes you on to other places. Skip Windsor, a former rector of ours here and one of my most treasured mentors along the path of my own ministry, has a fond saying. He says that ministry will take you places you never thought you'd go. And that's true not just of the ordained kind of ministry, but of any kind of ministry that you give your whole self to. The idea is that for lots of very good reasons, you keep moving in ministry, and you don't come back to the place where you started, except as a guest, and then maybe only occasionally. But it worked out differently for us. The place I suppose I least expected the ministry would take me was right back here. You probably had the same expectation, and I wouldn't blame you. But returning to this beloved community after 10 years in other ministries has always seemed to me a blessing I could not possibly deserve. At the same time, it has brought along some challenges that would never have come along with any other parish. Because as these years have flown by, we have together commended to God's eternal love some of the people who, for me, were the folks who held up the place when I first came here. When things go in the usual way, you don't serve as a minister in a place where you have known the people you're ministering to for years and years before you come into this role. And maybe one of the reasons for that is that you find yourself presiding at the memorial services of people that you've known and looked up to most of your life. Their names are included among the many that we remember today. But 30 years ago, it was hard for me to imagine St. John's being St. John's without such saints as Evan and Jean Johnson or Roger Green or Addie Weber or Arthur Dixter. 25 years ago, it was hard for me to imagine the place without Bertha Brewer or Mary Evans. 20 years ago, there just couldn't be a St. John's without Dorothy Lithgow or Kay Shreve. 15 years ago, the place would fall down without Janet and Blakeslee Wright or Monty Joyce or Eunice Green. 10 years ago, I couldn't imagine the place without Steve Scheck or John Thomas or Alvin and Barbara Hartman. And 5 years ago, the idea of this parish without Jenny Dewey or Pat McDonald or Nancy Golden or John Evans or Sylvia Slayton, I couldn't grasp. You may remember some of those names. Some of you may not ever have heard of any of them. We know that, and we could tell you stories, but all of that has happened, and St. John's still endures. When we stood here in this place with all of those saints, and when they gathered here with the countless others that came before them, we learned to say together the teachings of our faith. Whether we understand it or not, we say that it is God's plan to bring about the resurrection of the dead, and that there is eternal life with God in a new order of things. But that leaves us with a mystery about the space between here and there. Maybe we are a little less impatient with Jesus than Mary was. We did not really expect Jesus to show up and somehow restore our brothers and sisters to life. But we want to know that the good people who helped guide us along our own stumbling path of faith live now with God. We want assurance that God does indeed eventually come to their tomb and to ours and roll away the stone. The surprising thing that God offers us to give us that assurance is first and foremost the continuing life and vitality of the body of Christ, the church. The assurance we get most abundantly if we are willing to see it and embrace it for what it is that we are continuing in the work that they left unfinished, and that others, right now making the noise in the back of the room, will follow us in that way too. The assurance that we receive is not something that comes from a séance. It comes from finding in ourselves the faith to carry on and move forward into God's future, a faith those saints helped us to find and to follow. Last week I was back at All Saints, the place where I grew up. And at the end of the service, I stood in the line and then I shook the hand of the rector who serves there now and I introduced myself. And when she heard my name, she took me by the hand and invited me to step back into the sacristy. And there she showed me the diagrams that my mother had carefully drawn years ago to help the Altar Guild folks set up for the Sunday service. They were still right there on the counter in the Holy Hardware Room. Many of the folks who now do that ministry in that place never met my mom. And they sure as heck didn't know me. But the place carries on doing its work. The ministry endures. The church moves forward toward God's call to reconcile the world in love. And in that, we find the assurance that God will surely come in God's own time and roll away all of our stones. Amen.